on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the head of the HSE says the Delta variant could put pressure on the COVID testing system. The Taoiseach describes Boris Johnson's reopening plan for England as a free-for-all. The Green Party leader, Eamon Ryan, pledges to raise the issue of compensation payments for Minority with his party colleague, Catherine Martin, after the issue was raised in the Dáil today by Deputy Thomas Pringle. Talks are progressing on a new tourism initiative similar to The Gathering, and it's hoped work will start shortly on a new building for Little Angels Special School in Letterkenny. A contract's been signed this afternoon between the patron board at the school and the HSE. Later in the bulletin, Oisin's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. We begin this afternoon with confirmation that following HSE concerns at rising COVID case numbers in the Northwest last evening, it's emerged today that Sligo now has the second highest incidence rates in the state after Donegal. Latest figures show that in the 2 weeks to midnight on Tuesday, Donegal had a 14-day incidence rate of 359.9 cases per 100,000 people. Sligo's rate was 213.6. These compare to a national rate of 121.8. Only 7 counties have a rate higher than the national average. 19 have a rate which is lower. 627 people, meanwhile, tested positive for coronavirus north of the border over the course of the past 24 hours. Well, the head of the HSE says the Delta variant could put pressure on the COVID testing system. Over 300,000 people are said to be vaccinated this week. Officials also expect a jump in the number of new cases of the more transmissible strain. And Paul Reid says it's not fully clear what the impact of that will be.
We do know most likely cases will rise, will put and challenge testing and tracing systems. But it's unknown at this stage, certainly not completely clear, the full impact on hospitalisations. But we are obviously monitoring what's happening very closely across the UK and indeed in other European Union countries that have a prominence of the variant to date.
Well, the Taoiseach has described Boris Johnson's reopening plan as a free-for-all. Micheál Martin said the government is very concerned about the plans to fully ease restrictions in England. From July 19th, the vast majority of COVID restrictions there will be lifted in what's being dubbed Freedom Day. But Taoiseach Micheál Martin does not believe Ireland should go in that direction.
I do think, in respect to the UK, I am concerned about the free-for-all that seems to be developing within the UK, and that does raise issues for us as a people and as a country, because we're next door neighbours, and what happens in the UK can spill over fairly quickly. Our public health advice would be that that's not the way to go.
The government will consider 6 reopening options for indoor dining at its cabinet meeting on Tuesday. Further talks took place today between representatives of the hospitality sector and senior government officials. The Vintners Federation of Ireland says the talks focused on devising a system that allows only vaccinated people and those recovered from COVID indoors. Representatives were told primary legislation and regulations will be required to allow pubs operate indoors in certain circumstances. Green Party leader Eamon Ryan has pledged to raise the issue of compensation payments for Minority, who have lost out for a second year because of the cancellation of courses in Gaeltacht summer colleges. Last year, they were paid a total of €4 per student per day, a sum that was described as wholly inadequate. The Minority were seeking €10 this year. They've been offered €5. Deputy Thomas Pringle told the Dáil this afternoon that this offer was disrespectful. When answering questions on behalf of the government, Minister Ryan promised that he would raise the issue with his party colleague, the Gaeltacht Minister, Catherine Martin.
The Minority have been given a paltry €1 per student increase on last year's compensation for losing students and keeping their accommodation ready for their return. Why are they being treated so disrespectfully if you acknowledge the importance of the Irish language? And as well as this, Irish colleges such as Colaster, Bonan, Inver and Donegal were not consulted as to the changes this year, despite your ministers saying that everyone was consulted. So will you commit to reviewing the compensation and ensure that these providers are supported properly in this difficult time?
I don't have the details, but I do recall in recent days, I think Minister Mark issuing further funding to the Banaty who've lost out because of the loss of Irish colleges again this summer. Obviously, there's difficult choices in terms of allocation of different resources, but I will check to see. My understanding is that there was further funding, and we'll pass on the concerns you raised. raised and see if there has been any community or other organisation left out, well, whether that can be addressed. But first thing first, I know that in her and in her mind, the support of such initiatives is very much a top priority.
Talks are progressing on a new tourism initiative similar to The Gathering. The tourism minister is in discussion with stakeholders on a national campaign to encourage tourists to visit Ireland after the pandemic. No dates have been decided. The Gathering was a series of over 5,000 events in 2013 to encourage the diaspora to return here. Minister Catherine Martin is hopeful plans can be unveiled after the summer recess.
We have to make sure that everything is in place. It's not just about the tourism tourists coming in, but it's everything that comes with a year like that. So we want to tap into everything to make it most successful, and that's where the engagement with the industry is key. So I'm sure we'll be in a position by the return of the Dáil to indicate maybe, you know, when that is, but the discussions are ongoing. We want to make it as successful as possible.
North of the border, the PPS has put its plan to drop murder charges against Soldier F on hold after the brother of one of the Bloody Sunday victims was given leave in the High Court to challenge the decision. Soldier F had been charged with the murders of William McKinney and James Ray, as well as the attempted murder of five other people. The charges were to have been withdrawn at Derry Courthouse tomorrow, but the PPS has asked for that to be deferred until September, after Michael McKinney, William McKinney's brother, was granted leave to seek a judicial review of the decision. It's hoped work will start shortly on a new building for the Little Angels Special School in Letterkenny. A contract was signed today between the patron board of the school and the HSE for a site. The new school will be built on land between the Donegal Hospice and the Business Park Road, very close to the current school building. The patron board says the agreement ensures the transfer of lands meets with the Department of Education's deadline for permission to begin building the school. The chairperson of the school's patron board is Karen McGlinchey. She says today marks a very important step in what's been a very long process.
It has been the persistence of so many people involved. It has been the parents of children for years and years who have persisted and persisted. It's been the teachers who have worked so hard with the children in Little Angels Special School, and of course, you know, the patron board and the board of management. We have so much to look forward to, and you know, we're hoping that soon the build will start on a new school. There's a few other wee bits and pieces has to be done before the builders can move in to construct the new school.
In terms of a timeline, where do you believe we are with regards to construction? Because obviously there have been discussions with the department, and the department had said to you, once you secure the site, we can look at construction. The site's now secure. I mean, are we talking a matter of construction starting within a matter of months?
Well, we certainly are hopeful that it will be starting in the next couple of months. I don't know how long, to be honest with you. Just to see the sod turning over in the next couple of months would just be a great first step. And of course, the sooner that we get in, the better, you know, for all the children and for the teachers and the parents. The sooner that we can get in, really, the sooner they start building, the better for us.
And that was Karen McGlinchey, the patron of the board of Little Angels, the chair of the patron board of Little Angels School. The Department of Education has granted funding to a Carrigart school to test for mica. Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh has confirmed that emergency works have been approved for Scoil Own Bosch to Carrigart for fabric defects testing costs. Five schools in the county have applied to the Department of Education for emergency funding to cover the costs of an engineer's report. And Deputy McHugh is advising any other school in a similar situation to make similar applications.
My advice publicly this morning is that if any schools feel that they have mica in their blocks, then the cracks are showing that evidence of mica, and they have fears or worries that they should contact Department of Education through the emergency works applications mechanism.
And that was Deputy Joe McHugh. He was speaking on today's 9 till noon show. The Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District says there was no consultation ahead of the installation of parking restrictions at Cooldaff Blue Flag Beach. There was widespread opposition from the local community following the installation of the large concrete barriers in recent days. Councillor Bernard McGuinness says Donegal County Council did tell him that measures may be taken to prevent campervans entering the area, but not to the extent of the action that was taken. He's confirmed the barriers will now be removed and alternative measures put in place.
I've been assured by council officials that they will be removed and other restrictive things put down. First of all, they're going to surface dress the car park and line it. They've also agreed to put up signage. Most camper van people abide by the rules, everywhere they go on tennis. There is a second car park for that where nobody minds them there beside the football pitch. And they want to, quite welcome to go over there and adapt to everyone. The problem with Kildare was on occasions there was quite a number sitting in, on the, looking out over the sea, and ordinary people who visit the car park, particularly elderly people, couldn't get, they're sitting in their car and watching the sea, and that's what they wanted to do. And, you know, as I said, it was this thing, what they've done exactly, as I've described, sledge to break it up.
Councillor Bernard McGuinness there. The government is being accused of delaying the dredging of the harbour at Mahararoorty. In a question to local government minister Dara O'Brien, Deputy Thomas Pringle asked why Donegal County Council's application for a dredging and beach nourishment licence had not been granted, even though the council lodged it in January. The reply issued this week stated that a public consultation is underway. However, the department's own website states that consultation ended almost 3 months ago on April 12th. Local councillor Micheál Colomagh-Asbach says this is another indication of how the government seems to regard West Donegal.
Either somebody's misleading the minister, or else the minister just doesn't know his own brief. We have a situation where we have boats lying dry. We have a fishing community in Maharaoti. We have two ferry services. There's one going to Tory Island, and there is also one going to Inishbofin. But yet the state can't bother itself to actually do the work that is very much needed in terms of the dredging.
It's clear from the document that Donegal County Council submitted to the department that the council envisaged work on this dredging beginning at the end of March 2021. Obviously, that hasn't happened because the application is still sitting in the department's offices. First things first, before we even start talking about money, that has got to be resolved.
Absolutely, it does. I remember way back in April, we had a tri-war, and it was then I was told that the dredging would start. It was the understanding of the staff within the council that that would be the case. But unfortunately, for one reason or another, the government and the minister is dragging its heels in this year. And it's a clear message to us in the West Donegal, a clear message to the fishing community, the coastal community, that you're not relevant. You're not important enough for us to actually get our finger out and do the job that we're paid to do and make sure that you can continue with your livelihood. We were promised a number of years ago a seawall, and yet we're still sitting on our hands and West Donegal's waiting for work to take place. The council says to me very, very clearly that there is no issue for them to carry out the works. If they were given the go-ahead this evening, they would have feet on the sand tomorrow morning, and dredging would start.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with soccer. England are facing charges from UEFA regarding fan behaviour during last night's Euro 2020 semi-final one against Denmark. Disciplinary proceedings have been opened with regard to alleged disturbances caused by England supporters during the national anthems and the lighting of fireworks. A charge has also been brought over a laser being used in the stadium, which was aimed at Danish goalkeeper Kasper Schmeichel as he faced a penalty from Harry Kane. Three League of Ireland sides are in Europa Conference League action tonight. It's a big evening for Sligo Rovers. They are in Iceland playing FH Hafnarfjallur. Kickoff time there is at 7. Preparations have been far from ideal for Liam Buckley's side after two players were affected by COVID. Bohemians are also in Iceland against Starnan from 8:45. Bow striker Georgie Kelly is top of the Premier Division goal scoring standings and wants to contribute tonight again on the European front. The initial native expects a tough physical encounter.
They're kind of big, physical, aggressive side who've done well in the league last year. I think they've been a little bit slow to start this year, but we're well aware of of how technically good they are and well experienced they are at this level. So we're going to be going to be raring to go, and we're going to have our work done on them hopefully. So yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Dundalk are the first Irish club in the Conference League action this evening. They kick off at Oriel Park at 5:45. Welsh club Newton, who are the lowest ranked club in the tournament, are the opposition for Dundalk. Dundalk are without three players who tested positive for COVID-19 and are currently isolating. And not forgetting about Irish League runners up from last season, Coleraine. They're taking on Starnan. That one kicks off at 8:45 in Bosnia, and they are playing FK Valois. The executive committee of the Donegal Junior League met this week to formulate the 2021-22 league season. It will get underway on Sunday the 15th of August with the Brian McCormick Cup Area Leagues, with the Donegal League proper for the divisions in Saturdays and Sundays, starting on the 25th and 26th of September. In rugby, the Lions will play another warm-up game against the Sharks this coming Saturday afternoon. The Sharks have been drafted in as a replacement for the Tourists after a COVID-19 outbreak in the Bulls camp. The Sharks, of course, suffered defeat in the test against the Lions last night. Meanwhile, the squad and management will go through another round of COVID-19 testing over the next 24 hours. Their managing director is Ben Cavalier, and he says the results of those PCR tests will determine whether they can fulfil that fixture this coming weekend. Organisers of the Tokyo Olympics have agreed to hold the event without any spectators under a COVID-19 state of emergency in Japan. The president of the Games says the situation is regrettable and has apologised to people who bought tickets. Coronavirus cases in Tokyo have hit a two-month high a fortnight before the start of the Olympics. Tennis's world number one, Ashleigh Barty, is into her first Wimbledon final. The Australian beat 2018 champion Angela Kerber in straight sets, 6-3, 7-6, after recovering a break of serve in the second. Arina Sabalenka has won the opening set 7-5 in the second semi-final, and she is up against US Open runner-up Caroline Apostolikova. The Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board has today faced calls for it to be disbanded at an Oireachtas Agricultural Committee hearing. The hearing is investigating claims made by trainer Jim Bulger that there's doping issues in Irish racing and that it faces a Lance Armstrong moment. Independent TD Michael Collins called for the IHRB to be dismantled and replaced by a new independent body to police the sport. Horse Racing Ireland Chief Executive Brian Kavanagh said all winners in Ireland are currently tested and that out-of-competition testing has been increased. While in golf, Patrick Harrington has opened with a 4-under par round of 67 at the Scottish Open. He's 3 shots off the lead in day one of the final tournament before the Open. Cormac Sharvin is also 4-under midway through his round. Rory McIlroy is level par through 12 with Graham McDowell 2-over after his first round. Finally, just looking ahead to tonight here on Highland on the Score programme, I'll be joined by Martin McHugh to look ahead to Donegal versus Derry and Tyrone against Cavan in the two remaining quarterfinals of the Ulster Senior Football Championship. On the soccer front, Ethan Boyle will look ahead to Harps game against Waterford, where they're chasing a first 1-6 games. Gavin Cullen of Coghill Celtic and Jason Gibson of Bunnegy United will also discuss their upcoming FAI Cup qualifiers on Saturday against Leinster Senior League opposition. While in our Olympic preview, we speak with Rafo man Daniel McGee. He is Badminton Ireland's High Performance Director, who is also the team lead for Tokyo. And looking further down the line, this coming weekend we'll be continuing our Olympic specials. On Saturday, Sport After 5, we'll be hearing from Mark English and Eilish Flanagan. And then on Sunday After 3, we'll be hearing from the current athletics team manager for the latest Olympic Games, and that is Letterkenny AC's Teresa McDade. That's your sport for the moment, Donald.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisín. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. There's a lot of discussion at present surrounding the future of Irish grassland swards. Well, coming up, we'll hear from Irish Farmers Journal Sheep and Schemes editor Darren Carty, who gives us a glimpse into the future of grassland. And he also has some advice for Donegal sheep farmers. But first, Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConnell-Logue has begun a nationwide sectoral dialogue this week. The Minister will visit farmers and people in the fishing and forestry sectors, as well as food producers. He said he will spend time during the summer listening to as many people to get their views and opinions, stressing that these people are the backbone of our rural economies, and it is crucial for rural Ireland that the government considers their views and supports them. Now, changing tack. Darren Carty, Sheep and Schemes editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. You've been giving us a glimpse into the future of grassland this week. Plenty coming down the track, especially for those farmers who are involved in the results-based environmental agri-pilot scheme.
Yes, Chris. I suppose there's a lot of discussions in recent weeks given all the talk about eco schemes, given all the talk about the 15 billion carbon fund, how that's going to be spent. But as you say, the most pressing one, or the one we know most about or are most concerned with at the moment, is REAP. And that's because a lot of farmers have advisors coming out to check whether grassland fields are suitable. And for a good few farmers, and even for advisors as well, because it's a change away from the normal of, say, the normal measures, or this focus on maybe more extensive grasslands, and in particular trying to promote a lot of native flowering species, is something that a lot of farmers is going to be very new to them.
Here in Donegal, obviously we've quite a diverse landscape, a different type of farming. It's going to affect a lot of people.
Yes, definitely. Like in the department has said, and this look at it, that it is going to be the sort of change in direction, or the, it could be a future sort of, that there'll be more, I suppose, maybe focus on this. Now, it's not, I suppose, going to change a whole farm situation for somebody. Where, I suppose, some of this is going to be targeted towards is, just say we take a farmer with 30 hectares of land, is that maybe he might be identifying 3, 4, 5 hectares of maybe ground might be more marginal, might be less suitable to be managed intensively. And what the department are saying is that by sort of farming that more with an environmental basis, and say, I suppose, availing off some of the scheme payments, that it can be every bit as lucrative as, say, productive farming. Now, that's quite, I suppose, maybe a change in mindset for a lot of people, given that for 30 years, all the direct payments have been focused towards safeguarding food production, ensuring consumers have healthy food, safe food, at below the cost of production. That now farmers are being asked, I suppose, maybe to continue to do that, but also with a lot more focus on the environment. And like, there's a couple of things that the farmers, I suppose, maybe this should be pointed out, is that this will still need to be farmed, but it'll be farmed a lot more extensively, in that there'll be sort of recommendations around no slurry spreading, negligible nitrogen use, letting sort of fields go to flower, or letting them grow, I suppose, maybe for all intents and purposes, letting them nearly go wild for a few months of the year, and then bringing them back under control. So like that's I suppose, there's going to be a steep learning curve on some of this as well.
For people to educate themselves about the changes, how are we going to get the knowledge over to everybody to direct them? Are we going to see a lot of planners involved?
Yes, and I think this is where the REAP project has started. That the REAP has a very narrow objective, so it's only looking at the grasslands, and it's a 2-year scheme just to see, I suppose, maybe how this works. So it's working on a results-based system. In the schemes in the past would have worked on that if you had a hectare ground in, whether it be for low input permanent pasture in Gloss, for example, you got 315 euros. A hectare ground now in REAP will be dependent on how you manage it and how, I suppose, maybe that scores. So the more you do to promote what's wanted, the higher is the, I suppose, the score, or the higher your payment is. How's going to be the learning curve on this is that it's a very much a learning curve for the department as well, and that they want to see what the reaction is on this. They want to see, does it work? Does the results-based payment work? Will there be the required benefits? And like that's going to be very important, because that's a big question in the next REP scheme, which is going to start in, or the next big agri-environment scheme, which is going to start in 2023. So there's going to be a lot, I suppose, maybe of discussion over the next year on, is this working? Will it? Can it be put out on a wider scale? That there's 5,000 farmers in this at the moment. Can this be put out over 50,000 farmers? And I think it's a question that advisors will be looking at, farmers will be looking at, the department, and also farm organisations, because look, there is a lot of concern on this, that say you're taking, that if it was, for example, to come in as a condition on eco schemes, that it could impact or affect the monetary or the income that's coming into a farm at first.
And that obviously will be a concern, because eco schemes are likely to determine 25% of a farmer's basic payment scheme payment in the next cap. So if people
aren't able to meet the requirements and adhere to the regulations, there could be knock-on effects?
Oh, massive. And like that is a big worry at the moment. Like, and we do see a lot of projects looking at different, say, aspects. Look, we even see the Inishowen Uplands, the EIP project that's there, and looking at, say, maybe a change of management and upland ground around Inishowen. They've even brought cattle into some areas to see whether it makes, say, a difference into what way the vegetation is. But like, if we look back on say the basic payment scheme and cap and payments, like in the last cap there was a greening payment, but 99.9% of farmers availed of that. But the eco schemes were told that the bar is going to be set a lot higher. And I think the devil is going to be in the detail in this. The department have said that they're going to have a wide array of measures, and I think that's going to be the vital one, because anything that ends up costing farmers alike, and some of these new schemes are based on what's called, say, income foregone or cost incurred. If that's going to be the case in some of these schemes, well, then it affects the money that's coming into a farmer, and you could go from a situation of them automatically getting, say, your basic payment scheme 25% removed, and then depending on what it costs, it could have a significant impact. Or as you said, it may not be amenable for some people to apply. So I think that it's probably a good time that this is coming out at the moment, that we're talking about it, because it's ahead of the consultation phase. I know this, your local minister there, Charlie McConlogue, has said that he wants to get out in front of farmers now to hear their reaction. And part of the reason we have said the article in this week is to inform people about REAP, but also to inform people about what potentially is coming down along the line, and let them, they air their concerns, let the people have a good debate on, well, what direction is it going to take, and how are we going to safeguard payments where they're needed going forward.
Finally, Darren, just in relation to the sheep sector overall, prices have been fairly good this year.
Yeah, they've been very good, and I suppose they're on a crest of the wave again at the moment, that we've seen, I suppose, a sharp reduction of a euro per kilo there in recent weeks, but prices are up 30 to 40 cent again this week on the back of the religious festival of Eid al-Adha, that's taking place on the 19th to the 23rd. So factories are gearing up for what's going to be the busiest week of the year is next week. So the biggest kill is going to be from this Saturday to next Saturday. There's some plants actually operating on the Saturday to try and get more lambs into the system. So I suppose any of your listeners that have sheep coming, what I are near ready to slaughter, what I'd be saying to them is that definitely don't miss out the next week, because prices will be strong, demand will be very strong, and look, there's often maybe a bit of a lag phase or a bit of a sort of lull in the trade after. So keep a good breast to the trade for the coming week, and market lambs as they come fit.
And that was Darren Carty, Sheep and Schemes Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. And finally, 23 people lost their lives in farms in 2020, according to the latest report from the Health and Safety Authority on Workplace Fatalities. Of those, 12 are aged over 65. And Farm Safety Week will begin on Monday, July the 19th. Now in its ninth year, the week sees the Irish Farmers Association working alongside the UK's Farm Safety Partnership to bring the message of rethink safety to the farming community. And there'll be a number of forums in conjunction with that. We'll have more details next week. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Mostly cloudy this evening, but generally dry in mostly light westerly or variable breezes. Staying mostly cloudy tonight with the odd shower. Some clear spells developing in lowest temperatures of 11 to 14 degrees overnight. Again, breezes light and variable. Tomorrow, a mix of sunny spells and scattered showers. Overall, lots of dry weather. Highest temperatures hitting 17 to 20. Again, light to moderate southerly or variable breezes. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Main stories in brief, and following HSE concerns at rising COVID case numbers in the northwest, it's emerged this afternoon that Sligo now has the second highest incidence rate in the state after Donegal. The head of the HSE says the Delta variant could put pressure on the COVID testing system. The Taoiseach says Boris Johnson's reopening plan for England is a free-for-all. Micheál Martin said he doesn't believe Ireland will be emulating Freedom Day. The government is to consider six reopening options for indoor dining at a cabinet meeting on Tuesday. And the Green leader, Eamon Ryan, has said that the issue of compensation payments for Minotee who have lost out for a second year because of the cancellation in Gaeltacht summer colleges is one that his party colleague and Gaeltacht Minister Catherine Martin has been considering. Eamon Ryan said it's an issue that will be addressed in the future. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The original notices for this Thursday, the 8th of July. The death has taken place in London of Patsy Bonner, formerly of Mean Drain, Dunlow. His remains will repose at Midland's funeral home tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 5pm. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Cronus Church, Dunlow, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Frank McKinney, 12 Ballycommon Road, Strabam. Funeral from his home on Saturday afternoon at 12:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 1 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam at melmountparish.com/webtv. The death has occurred of Sissy McBride, née McGinty, Carnamugga Upper, Mountaintop, Letterkenny. Her remains will repose at Letterkenny Funeral Home, Port Road, for viewing between 7 and 9 this evening. Her remains will arrive at St Junan's Cathedral tomorrow evening for 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 with interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/letterkenny. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Con MacDade & Sons Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Hugh McCallion, 23, Hillview Park, Castlederg. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning in St Patrick's Church, Castlederg at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in St Francis of Assisi Churchyard, Drumna Bay. Due to current government restrictions, the house is private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/castlederg.